Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Grandmaster Jesse Bowen, and welcome to our call tonight. We're here with Professor Gary Lee. Hello, sir. Are you there?
I am here, and Happy New Year, Punchy Jesse Bowen. How are you tonight?
Sir, I am doing better, and I know you've got a great show planned for this evening. And while we're waiting for our guests to arrive, I guess we can chit-chat and talk about the brand new year and maybe start into some of the things that we're going to plan for this year. And I know, we've had a great year. And everyone, if you've been following, what we've been doing, I'm in North Carolina, and, Professor Gary Lee, he's down in Houston, Texas area. I mean, we've just been having so many things going on across the country, not in just one location, but across the country. And we're so blessed to have, technology such as the Internet web shows and the different things we're doing and the relationships that we've been building this year. Professor Gary Lee, this has been really, really super exciting this year.
Well, it really has. And, it started, kind of kicked off with your event and your Legends event that you had, and then my Living Legends event that we had in October. But this year is going to be exciting because we've got three or four major things that are happening, then lots of surrounding events that are happening to help it make more awareness of what we're doing, not just with the book, but bringing people together across America and showing that there's a true knowledge of love and spirit, not only in sport karate, in martial arts in America. I like to say right off the bat, I wish everybody had a great, great holiday, a Merry Christmas to everyone. But this is our New Year's show and our last show of the year. And I'm looking forward to January 3rd, our first show of the year, with Mr. Alan Goldberg from Action Martial Arts and his event that's coming up at the end of January. And he's going to go in detail with all the cool things that he's going to be hosting for that mega, mega weekend. We have a special every week at the show that I do for Living Legends and the History. And Punchy Bowen is going to allow me tonight to, if you buy a book, you receive a calendar with your book. And this has featured pictures of some of the martial artists that are in the book. And we appreciate your patronage toward using the book. And if you'd like to get the book, of course, you go to Barnes & Noble, or you go to Amazon, or you go directly to the site, which is www.whoshointhemartialarts.com. And if you want to call, like I said, Hunchy Bowen directly, you can go to 919-618-8075. And one other thing, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Let's not forget Century, our friends at Century, Century Martial Arts Supply Company, one of the largest martial arts supply companies in the world, is now, carrying the book, and we're really super excited about that. So, if you are already shopping with Century in your martial arts school, or you have an account already set up, so Century provides a very easy way to just to add that along the book along with your other merchandise order also.
So it's Century, Barnes & Noble, and Amazon, and, of course, you can go directly to the site that we mentioned earlier and get the book. And like I said, if you order it during this show tonight, you'll get that special calendar also. We'd like to mention also that the book is really unique. It's about your story and what you did in the martial arts. And we ask that you send in a biograph of yourself and try to make it camera ready, because if we use it, we don't want to edit it or anything and take anything away from your story. We'd like to just copy it and be able to put it in the book. And there's no charge, by the way, for you to be able to be in the book. You just have to tell your story and make it readable, of course, like you said, to make it so it's printable. And then we'll show you later on how you can actually get the book and be a part of the fantastic book signings, which we're going to mention later on in the show that we're doing out throughout the year. I'd like to do the first one and talk about it, and we're going to jump ahead a little bit. But August 4th and 5th at Sifu Dennis Brown's U.S. Capitol Classics, a NASCAR event, premier event. Mr. Bowen is going to be introducing the Legends event and book signing at that event. Mr. Bowen, talk a little bit about that.
Well, we're working on right now. Officially, we have began our work and, you know, bringing in new bios and nominees for 2017. Actually, we started this several months ago at your tournament, sir, at your event. And we, you know, you provided a lot of bios from a lot of the people in Texas that were hoping to be there. You know, Grandmaster Dennis Brown, his event, the U.S. Capitol event in D.C. has always been a great event. It's a great landmark. And there's actually a lot of things to do. That's what we wanted to do this year, was to try to have the event at a time and at a place that you don't just go to for the banquet, because, you know, you have his world-class competition going on Friday. We're going to be doing the 2017 Who's Who in the Martial Arts Legend Banquet. The new book will be released. We'll be having book signings going on all weekend long. So there's just so many incredible things that's going to be happening with this event. So if you're looking for a place that you'd like to visit yourself, bring your students to, then this is going to be a really phenomenal event. You're going to have world-class martial arts, and we're really working on a secret that we're trying to put together for the feature. Every year we've done a different cover, and this year we're looking to have a phenomenal cover, and the cover story is going to be built around that individual who makes the front cover of the book. So we're working on it. It's a surprise. I'm not going to tell the secret right now, but yeah, that's going to be great. It's going to be in Washington, D.C. So there's so many things to do. So go ahead and mark your calendar now for that August 4th date. And I mean, it's been really great for sport karate. We have coming up in Charlotte, North Carolina, we're going to be having the Europa Games, and that's going to be great because that is a festival, and they have added sport karate as a part of the festival, and I'm so honored that they've asked me to be the tournament director, you know, for that, and that's going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina, coming up in April, and, you know, we have so many other, you know, venues like that. The 2016 book signings are still going on, and we'll cover that a little bit more for everybody, but like I said, you know, if you don't have a copy of the book and you really don't know what all the hype is about the book, and I'm not saying that because, you know, technically I'm the author of the book, but I'm saying it because all of the people that are in the book, and it's their book. So, you know, I'm the guy that, you know, sort of did all the work and made things happen, but really the book belongs to everyone that's actually in there, and we're trying to make sure that the book is a benefit for them, not when they're deceased and moved on, but that they're able to get the benefits of helping to build their profile in the community, helping to build who they are as martial artists and individuals for the great accomplishments they had.
Well, let's emphasize the fact that the actual first book came out in 81 or 82 by Mr. Jan Willendorf and Dale Brooks, your instructors, and you know, you and I were actually in the first book, and what an honor that was. But now, 30 years later, we're doing it again and honoring the people that made all that history during, before, and after the fact of what Jan and Mr. Brooks saw. And I commend you, Auntie Bowen, on seeing that vision and keeping that vision alive. And one thing I want to say also to the listeners is that the book signing is not just book signing. It's so cool to have the people that you can read about, see their stories, understand how they came about in the martial arts, and then have them sit there, talk to you, and then actually sign the book to you. It doesn't get any really cooler than that. So these book signings are pretty spectacular, and later on in the show, we'll talk about some other places around the country that we're being offered to do these book signings. You know, again, at the our end of your show, we like to cover a little bit of everything, and we're going to bounce around a little bit. But right off the bat, I'd like to thank you for all the tremendous emails that you sent us and the comments that you've made to make this program a little bit better, and we certainly want to improve it. And we also want to say to you that we know there's lots of other radio shows out there, So this particular show concentrates on the icons and pioneers and legends of sport karate in America. We're all Asian influenced in what we're doing in martial arts, and God bless our Asian brothers and sisters that introduced us to martial arts. But sport karate was born in America, and that's what the Sport Karate Museum archives concentrate on, and we concentrate on sharing that with the world every day. Brother Jesse, there's a gentleman that I'm kind of waiting on a phone call. He's from Utah, and if he calls in, kind of look for him. His name is James Woodson. He's the person that helps make the awards for the Living Legends every year, and we're also waiting, I guess, on Mr. Finelli. But as we wait on these gentlemen for them to call in, there's something I always like to mention at the beginning of our program, and it's something that's important because, you know, we're part of a generation that's very special in the martial arts, the baby boomers, as we call us. We remember when martial arts first came to America in the early 50s, actually in the late 40s. But we've had the pleasure of watching a lot of these people, you know, create legends among themselves and among the world. But we've also lost a few. So remember, we're losing an entire generation of fine blood belts, you know, men and women who, you know, laid the foundation for and developed the strongest system of martial arts in the world. And the passing of each one saddens, you know, all of us greatly. And I suggest that you seek out and you talk with as many from that generation as possible. You know, when they pass, there'll never be the likes of them ever again and their knowledge. And we need to always remember our pioneers and legends. And that's what this show is about. Again, remember, if you'd like to call in and talk to us at the end of the show, which will probably be around, around close to 9:30, it's 657-383-1410. And for more information on the Sport Karate Museum archives, you can go to www.sportkaratemuseum.org, or you can call directly at 713-483-0476. We have some incredible upcoming guests that we're going to be having in the next few months. In fact, I've got exciting a moment for you. I've actually got dates, so I'd like to say a couple of them. January 3rd, Sifu Alan Goldberg, classified as a super producer for Action Martial Arts Magazine and the mega event that he does in Atlantic City. Mr. Goldberg will be talking about his event and all the incredible things that we'll be having for this event. Then on the 17th, we've got an incredible interview that I'm really looking forward to with Monster Man Everett Eddy. He was an incredible fighter from the 70s out of Detroit under the Karate Institute and Mr. David Pram, Jay Pram, trained with Johnny Lee and Rob Hogan and Howard Jackson. But Everett Eddy, Monster Man, set a standard, and we're going to be talking with him. January 31st, the one and only Mr. George Minshew, who we're roasting this year at the Living Legends Celebrity Roast. But George created the Karate Olympics, and it ran for almost 40 years. He was the first producer to actually give a ring, a gold ring out to the Grand Championship fighters. Also responsible for the franchising of Black Belt Karate Schools. It's interesting walking down his path and telling us how he developed the sale of the karate school. Then we have one of our new and up-and-coming interviews, and I say up-and-coming because he's been around since 9 years old, but he's probably in the top five black belt point fighters in the world right now, and we're going to have the honor of having Willie Hicks on February 7th, and we're really excited about that. February 21st, Colonel Phil Torres from the Marines, retired. Hero, legendary competitor, trained with Dr. Man G. He's also the national director of the pistol shooting now in America. What a great interview that will be. And February 28th, Mr. Sam Chapman, American icon, karate legend from the South, the co-founder of the South Carolina Butt Hall of Fame, And Sam was a great, great, great fighter, and he trained many, many champions, and we'll be going to the Southern history with Sam Chapman. And then we have Mr. Don DeVries and Richard McClain on beginning of March, I'm sorry, because their event is March the 31st and April 1st, and they do something very special. They promote Bill Wallace Superfoot Tournament, and this will be an amazing event at an amusement park this year. And we're really excited about having Mr. Don DeVries and Richard McClain in the interview. And then March 14th, we're going to stop it right there with Pioneer Mikey Romore, the legendary lady fighter and early sport karate historian. I say that because she was actually the first woman arbitrator in America. Yes. And it was she was handpicked by Mr. Ed Parker Sr. for the Long Beach Internationals. She was also very instrumental in training women's sport karate. And that story she'll explain to us when we do the interview. But that's some of the up-and-coming people that we're going to be getting in the corner and talking to them and asking them questions about sport karate and how they developed their styles and their martial arts in America. You know, in a radio show, we can talk about a lot of things, and I believe that it all starts with how it started. And, of course, where we are now is because of the pioneers and the people not only you see in the magazines or the movies or the commercials or the people you've seen in YouTube and the Internet, of course. There's so many people out there that, well, they've done a lot for sport karate. And they did a lot of years, 10, 15, 20 years is a long time. Not everybody does it every day like a lot of us do, but they've hung it up, and now they've gone to different things. Well, this radio show is about you guys who are sitting out there listening, and you have stuff in your attic, in your basement, and you wonder if it's any good or if it's worth anything. Well, you know, the Sport Karate Museum Archives has got a special page, and it's called the Artifact Page. You can go to Facebook and just type in artifacts, and it'll come up. And we've got probably close to 1,000 items that we've collected in 19 years of doing the Living Legends Celebrity Roast. And these items range from a piece of paper to swords to rocks to over 200 signed uniforms. I can go on. In one show, I'll ask my producer if I can do this. We can just do an artifact show. And I know that you'll be blown away at all the incredible things that we've collected. But, again, it starts with you, the person who gave yourself to sport karate in those early years, those 60s and 70s and 80s, and you wonder if someone still cares. Well, we do. And we are the History Generals. It's not a Hall of Fame. It's an alumni of sport karate martial artists, men and women, who laid the groundwork for sport martial arts in America. You know, I mentioned earlier in the show that we're Asian influenced, and God bless the Japanese, the Koreans, the Chinese, and anyone else that developed Asian martial arts. But, you know, America is always known to take the best and simply take that best and apply it to something to make it better. And I believe that's what America has done with martial arts. In the early days, I know a lot of the old-timers said, American karate, what's that? I mean, it's not karate unless it's Japanese or Korean, or it's not kung fu unless it's Chinese. Well, that's not true. Look where we've gone to, and look where we're going. Look at the tournaments today and the performances that just the children are doing, let alone the seasoned veterans that have conformed. Sport karate has really grown into something that's not only fun, but it set the standard. And we appreciate the old-timers, and that's what this show is about. I tell you what, I'd like to answer a couple emails now, and we really do appreciate these emails that we get. And this one's from New York, New York. I have quite a few friends up there, but this gentleman, I'm sorry, it's not a gentleman, it's a lady, Mary Ann McGinnis, and she asks, Taekwondo is Korean, and when was it introduced to America? And when did it hit its heyday? in popularity? Well, okay, that question is pretty simple. And I believe that in America it was introduced probably in the late 50s, early 60s. And people I think of mine is Hill Cho from California, of course. Henry Cho, New York, who had the famous tournament. Of course, the Park Brothers. Kim Su out of Texas. These incredible Taekwondo Koreans are just a few of some of the incredible people that brought Taekwondo over to America. And but the heyday, Tommy Baum, I think it happened, the same thing has happened in Japanese karate now for being in the Karate Olympics in 2020, is that the heyday was in 87 and 88 when the great Arlene Limas and the Herb Perez and Dana He, they won gold medals. And they won gold medals in the real Olympics, World Olympics. And it was introduced as a spectator sport. And now it's been running for all these years. And I believe the heyday was in that time. The most popular person out of the Taekwondo, I call it Trembling Shock era, is a gentleman out of Sugar Land, Texas, where the museum is located at. And that's Mr. Stephen Lopez. Mr. Stephen Lopez won gold medals in the World Taekwondo Games, also in the Olympics. So I hope that answers your question, Marianne. And I do appreciate the question. And I'd love to send it to you in email, too. One more from Hattie, Mississippi, down south a little bit. This is from Tommy Bitlow. And Tommy asks, when was the first sport karate tournament, and has it been one of, has it always been 1 or 2 points, 4 points scored? Well, that's a kind of a semi-complicated question. The very first sport karate school was 1946 in Arizona by a gentleman named Robert Trias, who was teaching a Shorite, and he developed the United States Karate Association, and it governed the sport karate tournaments through that time period. And it was probably the most prestigious, and it was the most prestigious sport karate group in America. If you were a sport karate fighter or in that group, you were very special. To this day, I would debate with anybody that most of the brown belts, that were USKA brown belts, were tougher and badder than most black belts in America at that time, only because of the standards that Master Trias and the USK made standards for. It hasn't always been 1 or 2 points. It's always been 1 point. But to make it interesting, there was a tournament Jim Harrison put on in a small television studio, and it was for $1. That's right, had $1. And it had Mr. Jim, J. Pat Burleson, had Skipper Mullins, had Bob Wall. It had all kinds of incredible, David Moon. Of course, it had Mr. Joe Lewis. The only big name that wasn't there that particular day was Mr. Mike Stone and Chuck Norris. And they were fighting for $1. $1. Mr. Harrison gave the winner $1, and they were fighting for 2 points. 1 point you scored on them. If you scored another point, you deserved to lose. So that was it. And that's how it started as far as I saw it. Tournament-wise, I believe it's always been like first to three points, 1 point for every point until the early 70s, and I want to say 72, 73, 74, when a gentleman who we're going to be doing an interview with, Mr. Roy Kerbin, he had a tournament called the Fort Worth Pro-Am, and he was involved with national competition, and at that time, the Karate Illustrated fighters were traveling all around the country chasing points, and he developed the two-point kick. He felt that if you could kick somebody in the head, which was prettier, harder to do, you deserve an extra point. So a lot of the national fighters came down, and they loved it. They got 2 points for every kick to the head, or really any kick to the body. And that was interesting because in Texas, the groin was a part of the body that you could score on. So you might have high kickers, but you also needed to protect your vital areas of your body that also could be hit by another kick. So 2 points for every kick now, 1 point for every punch. And it was the – it went from the 3.0, 3.1, 3.2 system, now the first to five. And you can win a fight. I saw Tim Curry 1 year at the Fort Worth Ram beat Sam Montgomery in 15 seconds. Two-point score, 1 point punch, it was over. Nowadays, it's first to five, and even you got different circuits, like the NBL, they allow a 3-point kick for a variation of a kick. But basically, it's old fashioned 2 point for kick, 1 point for punch. And I hope that answers your question. And we appreciate the emails so much for the show. You know, I believe that I'm going to take a moment and ask a question to Mr. Bowen. You know, last year when you came to Houston, were you ready for the Texas hospitality that you received?
Oh, it was so awesome, sir. I mean, it was great. You know, the folks in Texas, the martial artists, the hospitality, the friendship. It was like I've known these people all my life, and you know, coming up, introducing themselves. It was a very welcoming experience that we had. This is where we are in the martial arts. I think every place I've actually been, you know, since we've been working this project of meeting all the people, and it was great. And the experience in Texas was totally unbelievable, from the competition itself to the roast that evening, and how much fun that everyone actually had. And you know, that was a great experience. And this is sort of what we're really doing, you know, with your event and with Grandmaster Dennis Brown, of course, you know, the Battle of Atlanta, Greg, and those guys, you know, Jeff Doss, all of these guys are phenomenal people, and we have one mission, you know, involved, and that is to bring out an event that people love. And that's what your event
that was the answer I wanted to set up this next moment. And when we got involved last year, you introduced me to the Sport Karate Tournament Alliance, and it's a group of hand-picked tournaments that are part of the AMMA vision, working together for American sport and sport karate. And that idea was correlated with the idea that my partner, who I will make a shout-out to, Ms. Darlene McPherson-Pengels, we had together to create what we call Kata Wars. And this year, Kata Wars will be presented September the 29th and 30th in Houston, Texas, at the beautiful Hilton Galleria. But it has a different, you know, it's not another tournament. And that's why I wanted to ask that question to you, if you enjoyed the Texas hospitality, because we've added something different like this. For instance, what if we took the major tournaments, which I'm going to name them in a minute, and we asked the producers permission for them to send us their grand champions of their tournaments, the persons that won their grand champions, male or female, and converge down in Texas on the 29th at Kata Wars, and they present themselves with the form that they won their grand championship with at the major tournament, and they have a shootout, literally a shootout, and throw in, say, 6 or 8 wild cards from the museum, handpicked, and then you really have a Kata Wars. And literally, from that, form a real, superb, without a doubt, national black belt Kata champion, because you'd be simply taking the best competitors from all the major tournaments and let them go at it. And not about age, not about in the sense of sanctioning or tournament promotions. It's all about your personal 2 minutes, or excuse me, 3 minutes of competition. And these tournaments that we've asked to be a part of this for this Kata Wars is pretty impressive. And it came from the Martial Arts Alliance, and a couple more new, only because of the vision that Hachibona and I had. I'd like to mention the tournaments list right now, starting with the AMAA Nationals, and that's Master Bowen's event. And I believe your winner was Johnny Watkins, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, Johnny Watkins is actually Jeff Dawson's instructor and does incredible, incredible content. Ocean State Nationals with Christine Bannon Rodriguez and Don Rodriguez from the famed Paul Mitchell team, people. They're going to be sending us their grand champion. You mentioned Mr. Bill Viola, super producer from the Kumite Classic. He'll be sending us his grand champion. Mr. Dewey Earwood, the pioneer legendary performer from the Dixieland Nationals. From Empire Nationals, Mr. Lee Ireland. The Battle of Atlanta people, the Ruth family, sending us their grand champions. Looking forward to that because the Battle of Atlanta from Mr. Corley's days has always been the superb and cornerstone in major competition. Diamond Nationals, Mr. John Worley, Pat Worley, and Larry Carnahan. You know, in fact, we changed our date this year because we normally do it the first week of October. We changed our date just out of respect for Mr. Worley, and Mr. Carnahan to send us their grand champions for our event. The Jamal Nationals, D-Crash Petway and Jason Holmes out of Houston. The Bill Wallace Superfoot Tournament, their grand champion will diverge down in Houston. And their promoter, of course, is Don DeBreeze and Richard McClain. The U.S. Capitol Classic, we'll have the Legends Banquet at Mr. Dennis Brown. Louisiana Pro-Am coming up in February, Pee Wee Blanco. Merrick Kitt, Bob Liker, who's our future, we're going to interview him pretty soon. But he has an amazing event with Mark Russo. The Grand Slam Nationals. Right now, I would say the Grand Slam is the largest, most fun martial arts event in the country and where most of the fighters show up at. Jeff has done a superb job in presenting and promoting the event. And whoever the grand championship is in Kata, they're going to come to Houston. The Long Beach Internationals put on by Mr. Steve Cooper and Mr. Neil Harden. We want to put them on the list and say we will never forget California. And then we're going to choose 8 chosen black belts from the museum as wild cards to go against these grand champions. And so it's going to be really interesting to pull that off and make that happen for everyone. But the person that walks away that night at the roast will actually can say to himself that I've competed against the very best and I did well. Last year's event was won by Mr. Johnny Murphy, and we experimented with it last year. And UVentex did a great job. Mr. Greenberg stepped up and helped me quite a bit in setting that up to make that a real event for everybody. You know, I believe also that when you do something like this and you set a standard, you have to make it interesting so it's not just another event. And so with that said, we're doing a little bit different with the rules. You're judging people now on performance overall, and my favorite rule now is technical. So from 1 to 10, you'll be able to judge the kata performer from 1 to 10 on those 3 levels. And then each judge, no head referee, but each judge will be given a box. And that box would be hand technique. One box would be kicks, presentation of legs. Another box would be hesitation in the kata. The third box would be performance of ending and beginning. Another box would be stepping out of the beginning or stepping out of bounds or time limit. So now the black belt kata specialists, and that's what these guys are, they'll be put under a microscope. And not only the person performing against people they've never competed against, but now being judged differently. That, by the way, this year worked out really well. There's lots of people that we couldn't have pulled off the kata wars without. First and foremost, the incredible judges that stepped up and were trained and listened to all the emails and for these new rules. I really appreciate Rusty McMahons and Ralph Josky and other people that stepped up to learn these rules. The other person I would like to say a big thank you to that's really part of my heart is a man named Jim, the Fighting Irishman Anderson. He stepped up and he not only helped we create the event to make it better. He was at the first one, and he's going to be a big part of this 25th anniversary that we're doing September the 29th and 30th. We actually give a Jim the Fighting Irishman Anderson Passion Award. And that award is given out to people who show the passion toward the martial arts and toward their love. This year, Mr. Jim Hartley from the Jim Ronan Harrison's dojos, we call him Heartless, and Mr. Kenny Reefstock, who formed the Cancer Warrior Program, they'll be receiving the Jim Anderson Passion Award. So big shout out to Jim Anderson and big shout out to people who really make the Kata Wars and the vision happen. So that's a mouthful, Mr. Bowen, but that's what's happening for the Kata Wars. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's really great. I think it's an event. It's a historical event. The first time someone has actually come up with an idea like this and actually followed through, and I think this is the time in history of the martial arts. The timing is actually perfect. And, you know, with the sport karate, you know, as we are supporting the Olympic movement with the sport karate side, you know, we're teaming with the, you know, Michael Dietrich and his organization, all the great and wonderful things that they're actually doing. And, you know, he's actually launching a lot of world martial arts events. So there's a lot of people around the country, you know, Bill Viola, that's a lot of people around the country that are doing things to enhance not just, you know, the Olympic movement, but enhance the sport karate movement, that, you know, that all of our athletes are going to be superb athletes and the events are going to be very competitive. You know, in the American Martial Arts Alliance, we really want to help school owners to be able to market themselves so that they can get students in, because as the events come up, the key element is being able to have competitors, being able to have students, finding martial arts instructors that will support the efforts behind sport karate. You know, that's a really key part. So, you know, and we're going to be launching a new part of our radio show. We're hoping, we're working on that January 1st, you know, date to try to hopefully have it up. But we want to be able to have, even during the weekdays, we'd like to have different coaches and martial arts business coaches that will be coming on, having their little bitty shows to be able to share information about how to grow your business. And this is a really key part in the advancement as technology advances and our kids advance and the adults advance in our martial arts programs. The instructor, they have to keep advancing themselves too. So with the American Martial Arts Alliance, we want everyone to know that we're in support of the growth and the quality of martial arts. That's the reason why we're going to be supporting a lot of events that are growth-based along with our sport karate side.
Well, I believe also that we should bounce around. We talked about in earlier shows, and when we get done with the show tonight, we'll put up a link where people can look at the past shows that we've done, what we did in 2016 when we created this, is that we go into new horizons. I mean, sport karate is just a small part of martial arts. There's so much more involved to get you to the point to compete on that championship level. And as we talked about, the meditation, the Zen philosophy, the attitude behind a punch or kick, the philosophy and the wisdom of a sensei, having a true sensei. I love the fact that you want to branch out to that, because I remember, we've come a long ways from $25 a month teaching in a little 200-square-foot room and not having any children, maybe having one or two ladies, and not having to have a store where you can buy uniforms or belts. But we've come a long ways from those areas of teaching karate. I remember the first 1,000-foot dojo. Now, that's not very big, but compared to 200-square-foot, moving to a 1,000-foot dojo, which I had a big wall in the middle, not a wall, but a pole in the middle that we kept hitting. But still, that was like a condominium. It was huge. What was your first dojo like, Mr. Bowen?
Well, you know, It was really in a very bad section of town, and you know it was really bad. But right time, right place. I stayed committed to that, and we outgrew the dojo that we my first dojo, and we outgrew that in a matter of about 8 months. And you know we were then moved up to a better section of town. You know, I think that first dojo was probably about 1,200 square feet. And to the dojo I have now, which is about 4,000 square feet, which is probably one of the larger dojos in the Durham area. And, you know, we have all types of classes, you know, that are going on, all different things that are happening. But, you know, we have been progressing up to where we are now. And, you know, and this is the key element is, you know, I was blessed by having a martial arts instructor that was also a pioneer in the martial arts business area. So we actually before, because my school was a franchise school, and, you know, you had to actually go, you had to go through their program, and you received a bachelor's degree in martial arts management. And this was a really key point because this was one of the first times that someone – now stood up and said, well, it's not just about the martial arts. You really have to be an educated business person, and this is the reason why schools closed down. And so this was a historical point that, you know, Mr. Wellendorf, Joan Ree, John Chung, we were talking about his visit to Washington, D.C., sitting down with, you know, Grandmaster Joan Ree, you know, introducing the business model. He was down in Texas and help introduce business models down there, and Karate International and the American Martial Arts Association has grown to be one of the largest brands over the past 50 years still in existence. And a lot of that was because of the educational program that they created back during that point and that period of time. And this is still a very, you know, vital area for anyone that wants to go in any form of business. It's not just, you know, your art and your business are two separate things. You know, your art is your art and who the makeup of that. You know, your business model is your knowledge about running a business, whether you're running, you know, a Fortune 500 company or a small dojo. You're still required to do the same identical thing. And in the 21st century, we're looking for, you know, martial artists with that desire to get smarter about learning how to operate a successful martial arts program, provide great, you know, quality to parents, to their students, so that they have longevity not only in their business, but also the longevity of the students to actually stay involved in the program.
Well, you know what? I've got to say something here. I've got to hear my notes. You know, I wanted to talk about events that happened this year, and since I guess either Mr. Pinelli got tied up, or I know it was his wife Leah's beautiful wife Leah's birthday tonight, and I know that he called me and wanted to maybe do the show a little earlier, so maybe that's why he didn't call in. But I still want to talk about what he did this year and the incredible effort that he did to put these guys together. And the most important thing to me is that, one, you know, Mr. Pinelli is an ambassador for the Sport Karate Museum Archives, and he did this very unselfishly, what he did. The people that he put together that day was an amazing, and I had never seen anything like this since probably the first Living Legends back in 1999, the caliber of martial artists. And if I leave out some people, I don't mean to, honestly I don't, but I've got to mention some of the people that he actually put together for his All-Pro Taekwondo Hall of Fame that happened in 2016. This will go down as probably one of the most memorable events that's ever been put together. And the reason why I say this is because I look at this picture and I just look at it and I see that a lot of people probably we'll never probably see some of these people again that were in that room together. And that's amazing to me that Mr. Pinelli had the vision to put these people together. So I like to mention some of the people that I do recognize that he put together that day. So he knows that no matter what he's doing right now, we still plugged him and we still care about him, and we appreciate the All-Pro Taekwondo Hall of Fame. I see Simon Ree. I saw James Liu, Michael DePasquale Jr., the great Art Camacho, the director, one of the greatest fighters ever lived, Don Wilson, Bill Superfoot Wallace, Mr. Robert Goldman, super producer, Alan Goldberg, the actor, the man, Chuck Zito, Michael J. White, Lisa Black, the great editor and writer, Dana Stamos, Mr. Jamie Cashin, TJ Storm, Mr. Billy Blanks, Frank Dukes, Golly Bum, Mel Novak, one of the greatest martial artists ever, America ever to have on the shores, Mr. Fumio Demura Sensei, the first superstar of sport karate, Mr. Mike Stone, Kaji Kimpo's Al Dukaskis, one of the greatest Hawaiian fighters ever lived, John Nativahad, the choreographer of the Ninja Turtles and the Karate Kid movies, one and only Pat Johnson, and J. Pat Burleson. Right there is amazing that he can put that many people of that caliber of martial artists together in one room. And I just wanted to mention that of all the events that happened this year, this event was one of the most spectacular ones that I got to witness and see a super producer do. Now, I like to mention also that Mr. Finelli is a first-class act. Limousine, six-star-studded dinner at an Italian restaurant, beautiful glass awards. When he put Tadashi Yamashita and myself in 2015, I was taken care of from the point I left to the point I got home. And talking to the people I just mentioned, he took care of those people too. What a class act Mr. Finelli was. And I'm so sorry that he's not able to be alive to talk to us, but maybe in the future we'll set up an interview that we can actually talk to him. But we wanted to plug out to Andrew and say thank you. Thank you for putting these guys together. And from reading what all they said to me and called me on the phone, they had a great time. And I hope that other super producers step up and honor this group of pioneers we have in America now. And I'm really proud of the fact that there are the super producers out there like Bill Viola and Andrew Finelli and amazing other people that are putting together events like this so people can come together. You mentioned earlier Michael Dietrichs, Mr. Bowen. What an amazing, amazing person and the things that he's doing. I know that he'll be at the Action Martial Arts Mega event with the book signing. And tell me a little bit about what that's going to be about.
Well, you know, Michael puts together some, you know, really great things. I'm very impressed with him. We just met, you know, back here during the event, and he put together our registration events. He's been a promoter. You know, one of the things I want to really promote is that, you know, sign up to come into the Action Martial Arts event. I'm going to be putting a banner up on my website. And if you register to go to the event, we're going to give you a free book. So you're going to have a banner up. You click on the banner, and if you're going to be coming to the event and you're going to register through the banner, then we're going to give you a book, and we're going to be doing a book signing there. Cynthia Rothrock is going to be there. We're hoping that, you know, Michael Jai White was going to be there. We're going to have a booth there. So we just got a lot of stuff that's going to be happening at that event. And Michael is, you know, really helping to coordinate a lot of the things that's going to happen there at that event. And, of course, let's not forget John Chung. You know, his event is coming up here in next month. And we're doing, you know, the book signing there. But Michael and the Action Martial Arts event is really turning into a world event. And he has that capability to make events like this turn into not just an event, which is an amazing event itself, you know, in there. So, you know, we're excited because, you know, we are getting an award from for the American Martial Arts Alliance as being Martial Arts Organization of the Year. So, you know, there's a whole lot of different things we have going on. Has Andrew joined the call yet?
Yes, sir.
Hey, sir,
Andrew.
How you doing?
How are you, sir?
How you doing, little brother? Good.
Doing great.
Good.
Doing great. Happy holidays to you guys.
You too. You too. And happy birthday to Leah. Make sure you tell her
that.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you.
Did you get to hear my mention of your event earlier? Were you listening to that?
No, I did not. No.
Oh, so you came on?
Yeah, just came on, sir.
Okay. Well, I'd like to. We got a few minutes, so let's talk. I'd like people to find out basically where you started at and who'd you start with.
Do you want me to tell you now, or do you want to wait till we go live?
I want right now. I want to ask you right now who you started with and how'd you get started.
Well,
martial arts.
You know, people always ask me that all the time. My father was a professional boxer, promoter, trainer. He grew up in Queens, New York, in Astoria, was childhood friends with Rocky Marciano. So I got involved in boxing in the 1970s at Garden City. I remember as a kid going down there 3 to 5 days a week from 1977 to 1982. And my father would be the driving force to take me down there from Los Gatos to San Jose, about a 15-minute drive. But how I got involved in the martial arts was my mother enrolled my younger brother into Taekwondo at America's Best Karate under George Chung, Master George Chung, who was a student under Ernie.
Yeah.
Yes, under Ernie Reyes Sr. And George opened up his studio in Los Gatos with his friend and fiance, Cynthia Rothrock. She did Kung Fu. George did Taekwondo. And I wasn't put in the kids' class. I was put in the adult class. But, you know, I watched my younger brother do it first for about a month, and I was really inspired. And I decided to quit boxing with my dad's blessing and get involved in Taekwondo, and I've been doing it ever since. So I will be celebrating next year my 35th year of training and 30th year of teaching.
Wow, congratulations. One of the things I remember when I first was researching you before I became part of your Ohana and part of what you're doing, you got incredible kicks. You got a picture of you kicking straight up in the air. Have you always had that flexibility?
You know what? People ask me that all the time. You know, I never, as a child and to this day, have never been able to go out in the splits. Been very fortunate to be able to kick vertical. I can still do it. However, when you get older, you probably know firsthand, you got to do a little bit more extra stretching.
Yes,
you know, back in the day, I can just throw a kick without hardly doing any stretching and get that leg up there. But now I got to put in a good solid 15, 20 minutes minimum so I don't pull a muscle. So, you know, when you get older, you got to do a little bit more stretching than you normally have. And, you know, people, you know, kind of are amazed that I can still kick vertical, even though I'm not capable of doing the complete vertical or the complete splits.
So it's still pretty impressive. Before you came on, I took about 5-10 minutes, and I talked about some individuals that came to your event and put it as probably as one of the most prolific, epic events that we've had in 2016. You've been classified as one of the new super promoters and definitely going against the grain because you don't charge for an award.
No.
You take care of everyone to a very, very VIP status, and it's very impressive. But I wanted to ask you some direct questions, not only for the people who are listening, but the people that maybe don't know who Andrew Fennelly is that what was your vision when you created the All-Pro Taekwondo Hall of Fame? And every year, you know, Andrew, it's gotten stronger. And what is that secret to make it stronger every year?
Well, my vision has always been you know, so many great martial artists have impacted my life. And the least I can do is to thank them. By thanking them, to give them a little token of my appreciation for what they've done for me, many of them have kind of paved the way for me, and as well as inspiring me. So that's what my vision was to do something to kind of get together like a family reunion, like a brotherhood, like a sisterhood, have everybody come together. Doesn't matter what ethnic
you
are.
Yeah, but
you
do something different. You throw in a foot limousine, an eight-course, nine-course Italian dinner at the finest Italian restaurant in Las Gatas.
Yes.
You throw in these beautiful, I think my award weighed maybe 12 pounds or something. It was incredible how heavy it is.
Yes.
It's incredible.
You know what? At my most recent event a couple months ago, I've had people just publicly said that this is the best award they've ever received, from Art Camacho to Don Wilson to Bill Wallace to Fumio Demura to Mike Stone to Michael DePasquale, even Alan Goldberg, Billy Blanks, Chuck Zito, James Liu, and Simon Reed.
I got to mention all those people before, and I agree with you, too, that it's an incredible award. But again, I believe also, and I really emphasize this because I believe in what Miyamoto Musashi said, it doesn't matter if it's a piece of paper, if it's plastic or wood or glass, or it's a sword.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you know where it came from. And everyone knows directly, honestly, that you're doing it from the heart. And I think that's what's important. That's what my listeners want to know. I want them to know that there's people out there that is really, really unique, and that's what you are. Now, I'd like to do something I do with every guest, and it's called the Legends Name Game. And I'm going to ask, I'm going to say a name, and then you got, a minute or a sentence or a phrase or whatever you want to say about that person and how that person has impressed you or influenced your life. You ready to play it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here we go. First one, Robert Goldman.
Remarkable. Very intelligent. Amazing individual.
Okay. Terry Mock.
My hero. One of my biggest inspirations. Big brother. I've known him since 1988. Just a great leader and great family man.
Yeah, great actor, too. Gary Amann. Am I saying his last name right? Amann or Amann? Amann?
Gary Amann. Yes.
Gary Amann.
Yes. My current sensei. Amazing
Good.
Man. And he has an indomitable spirit. A true warrior.
50 guys.
Loyal brother and friend.
Stephen Barbieri.
Master Stephen Barbieri, a true Taekwondo practitioner, great, great loyal friend, and just a great human being.
Super. I got a couple more for you. Soki Dave Johnson.
Soki Dave Johnson, in regards to events, a inspiration, throws first class events. High character individual with high integrity. Just an amazing person.
Super. Ernie Reyes Sr.
Oh, Ernie Reyes Sr. When it comes to musical forms, he's one of the trailblazers. West Coast demo team. A legend.
How about my last one for you, and I don't think you've ever met him before you did your event, but surely my original hero, first superstar of sport karate, Mr. Mike Stone.
Mike Stone came to my event recently.
Yes.
Amazing, amazing individual. I probably had a handful of martial art legends who have impacted my life a great deal, including Bruce Lee. He is one of them, along with Jim Kelly, Bolo Young, and Joe Louis, and Chuck Norris, to name a few. But Mike Stone is just an amazing, amazing individual who I followed since the early 70s. And who has...
Well, from talking to him with Mike, he really enjoyed your event immensely. And he was one of those guys that I mentioned the fact that, you know, being in the same room with Jamil Demura and John and Mr. Burleson is pretty amazing. I'm looking at the picture right now. You're standing in front of your banner, and I'm going to take a row at a time. I mentioned it earlier, but I want to make sure I mention everyone's name in this picture. The gentleman is sitting next to Dave Pat Burleson. I don't know. I know who he is. He played in the Chinese movie. I forgot what it was, but he was really funny. He had the ring.
Chu Chi Ling? Grandmaster Chu Chi Ling?
Yes. Him next to Dave Pat Burleson, the first national sport karate champion. Then, of course, Mr. Pat Johnson, John the Thibodeau, Shifu Al Dukakis, superstar Mike Stone, Jimu Demura. God bless. Jimu Demura, Mel Novak, and the lady next to him. Who is that lady?
I don't have the poster in front of me. Is it on the left hand side?
It's your main poster on your page.
Yes.
He's sitting next to the postman that played in 3 Days of the Condor and We're Car 54. Where are you? I forgot his name also.
Hank Garrett.
Hank Garrett, there you go. Hank Garrett, been around forever.
Yes, Hank
and
Garrett.
The gentleman beside him, is that Mr. Kwok?
Right next to him, could be. I don't have the poster in front of me.
Okay, I'm sorry, Mr. Kwok. Now, the gentleman behind him, kind of a short gentleman next to Frank Dukes. I don't know who he is. And then next to him, another gentleman, I didn't know who he was either, who's standing next to Frank. Well, I know that's Rick St. Clair.
If you
Rick
give
St.
me
Clair.
A second, I can pull up that poster.
Okay.
I'm going to pull it up right now.
Next to Frank is Rick St. Clair, I believe. And
okay, so do you want to start from the top and we can work our way down?
Well, we're in the middle, right next to Frank. He's a short guy.
Okay, so right in the middle we have, in the fourth row, we have Grandmaster Pat Burleson. We have... Frank Dukes, we have T.J. Storm, we have Hank Garrett,
we're not looking at the same
actor,
picture.
Martial artist Olivier Gruner, we have Grandmaster Frank Sanchez from Jacksonville, Florida. He is the president and founder of the world's largest Master and Grandmaster Association, the world's ship, Silky Ship Council.
We're not looking at the same picture. Sir, we're not looking at the same picture. I'm looking at the picture that's on your Facebook page at the very top. And
yep, that's
Rick
the one
St.
I
Clair.
Have, sir.
There's Frank, okay, Frank Dukes. That's Rick St. Clair, Gulliver, Billy Blanks. That gentleman, I don't know, who's next to T.J. Storm.
I think you have an outdated poster.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, this
was,
is the one that's on your Facebook page. At the very front.
The one on my Facebook page is what I have in front of me.
Okay, that's what I'm looking at right now.
Yeah.
Very top is Simon Ree, James Liu, Michael DePasquale, Art Camacho, Don Wilson, you, Bill Wallace, Mr. Goldman, Allen, Chuck Zito, and Michael J. White. Right?
Is this the All-Pro Taekwondo Hall of Fame 2016 poster?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I think, because there was actually 13 different revisions on the poster. Yes. So
an incredible event with incredible people in one room together. That's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. So, I'd like to say also, Andrew, if someone wants to get in touch with you in Las Gatas or at your dojo, how would they get in contact with you?
They can either call me at area code 408-358-6042, or they can visit my website at www.allprotkd.com.
Okay. Is there Mr. Bowen, is anybody on the line to talk to Andrew?
No, sir, we have a clear line tonight, but, you know, you guys still have time since you got here a little bit off. So we've got actually another 15 or 20 minutes.
Good. One thing I want to ask you up to, Andrew, while I got you on the line. You know, to establish a karate school in one of the richest parts in America, which is the San Jose area, what type of competition do you have there? And do you have a lot of schools that are you surrounded by, or is it just a small group of individuals?
There's not many schools in my area. There's a jiu-jitsu school, another taekwondo school, more in downtown Los Gatos. I'm more central Los Gatos. There's a kung fu school and a kempo school. So you're looking at probably, including myself, five to six different martial arts schools that will tailor to about 30,000 people that live in the town of Los Gatos. Los Gatos is considered
your location.
I'm sorry, sir?
The location where you're at now in the corner, how long have you been there?
I will be celebrating my 20th year on April 28th, 2017. Same location.
Are you going to have a celebration of some sort? Or?
Yes, I will be throwing at my residence a backyard barbecue sometime in June of 2017.
With your new pool, right?
Exactly, sir.
Is it a pool or is it a, what is it? Jacuzzi?
You got the whole entire backyard redone. Got a pool, got a spa, new patio, grass.
Well, you know, I guess after 20 years doing a karate dojo, and you definitely deserve something nice. And I hope you really enjoy that. Now, another question I ask you, what was it like being around George Chung and Cynthia Rothrock in the early years before they became the great competitors that they become? Could you see the vision or what they were going to become?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I was around Cynthia from day one. You know, she became George's partner in 82. I was fortunate to be one of George's original students, first generation. You know, I started in 82, became his top assistant in 85, got my black belt in 87. That's when Cynthia left and went to China and did all her movies over there. 3 years later, George had a new partner in Grandmaster Anthony Chan, who was a wushu and kung fu expert. But, you know, I was very fortunate to train under George. You know, he had a big vision, high standards, and
Did you watch him practice the Long Ranger demo that he made famous?
Yes, I did. That was one of his forms that he won many world championships, as well as, you know, he's the one who was the creator of the machine gun kick. He would, do a roundhouse in a 360 degree all the way in a circle. And so I watched him. You know, I was very fortunate to, you know, to train with, you know, the late Joe Louis, Bill Wallace, you know, the late Jim Kelly. But also, you know, most of my early training was Master George Chung. But I was also very fortunate to train under Grandmaster Heel Cho, who was a student, who was George's instructor after Ernie Reyes Sr. And I remember driving down to Los Angeles once a month with my brother. We would drive down to Santa Monica, and train at Grandmaster Heel Cho's studio back in the 1990s. So,
he's the Korean that shows a picture of him actually doing either a spin back kick or something where he's breaking the bag in two.
Amazing.
Remember that?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And
he recently relocated to Hawaii. That's where he's living right now, is Hawaii, and he's in his early 70s.
He's got to be close to, is he 70 or 80? I know he's up there, right?
No, he's 73, I believe.
73. Yeah. Well, you know, how lucky are we to watch? I don't know if you got to watch Mr. John Chung, but the tournaments that I got to see George Chung and John Chung go head-to-head, where John was the most prolific technical kata man, and George was the most eclectic kata man, and them go head-to-head. What a joy that was to watch those two rivals.
Big rivals, but still, I mean,
the yin and yang. Yeah.
I mean, if George didn't take first place, it would be John Chung taking first place, George taking second. And sometimes it would be the other way around. You know, George would take first place and John Chung would take second place. So, they were definitely, big time competitors and rivals.
Well, it was a different time, and like I said, we were very lucky that our generation got to see those two incredible people. My claim to fame with George was he came to Texas. It might have been 81, and he competed in the AOK State Championships where he won, and I took third. And but he introduced his Long Ranger demo, and it just kind of blew everybody away. I also had the pleasure of performing with Cynthia at her very first Grand Championship win in Stockton, California in 82 at Leo Fong's and Ron Marchini's tournament. And she won it with her hook swords. She used to do those double hook swords, and it was just incredible to watch her perform. Hey, listen, I want to ask you our last question of the evening, and I asked it all to my guests and the people we interview, and I call it the yin-yang question. And it's two scenarios, and I ask you, and then you kind of tell me how you'd handle it. And I call it the soft-style karate approach. First scenario, someone walks in, very polite, takes off his shoes, and walks on the floor and says, "Are you the instructor? And I'd like to learn martial arts." What was your best soft sell to that person to get them to be signed up in your school?
Oh, I would just tell them to have a seat on the couch, observe a class for a couple minutes, and then in between classes I would take them into my office and give them the real actual sales approach.
And the yang of the question is you get someone who's just the opposite. They walk in, it's been raining all day, they got mud on their shoes, they walk on your floor, they don't bow. They just come up to you and say, "Hey, are you the instructor? I want to learn how to fight. You teach how to fight?" What do you answer someone like that?
Oh, for that, you're going to definitely have to keep your composure. I would escort them very nicely and gently to my couch in my lobby and tell them that I will be with them very shortly. And when, I don't like lots of disruption when I'm teaching a class. So I don't want to have it be taken away from my students. So I would just put that person on the couch and just tell them I would be with them very shortly and just talk to them after the class about the proper and educate them on the proper protocol in regards to martial art training as well as the mat, no shoes or socks on the floor and how to bow properly. A lot of people don't know how to bow properly when they get on and off the floor. But there's a certain protocol. So that's how I would approach it.
A very eloquent answer. Well, Master Andrew Pinelli, it's been a real joy talking to you. And I really wish you all the best. Now, I know you're doing a scale down of the All-Pro Taekwondo Hall of Fame in 2017. Can you give my listeners a little sneak preview? What's going on with that?
I will be designing a 2017 poster. Actually, the first thing I will be doing is I'm going to the first week of January, I'm going to do a Facebook Live video, and I'm going to be announcing the 10 new inductees for 2017.
Wow.
And then I will be doing that the first week of January. And then I will be coming out with the poster the first week of March. The event will still be large, but I will be scaling down by 75%. So,
well, I really, really appreciate what you did for martial arts at your last event and from the Sport Karate Museum Archives. And as one of our ambassadors, we wish you all the best in any future events that you do. Talking to one of the true masters of Taekwondo, my guest has been Andrew Finelli. I wish you all the best and Happy New Year, Andrew. Thank you for making my end of year show a spectacular show and an interview. I thank you so much from the heart. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. God bless.
You too. Master Bowen, I'm going to close out by saying that in the last moment, if anyone would like to get a book, we'd love to send you a book, and we'll give you a free calendar along with that book if you order it before we get off the air. Remember, you go to Barnes & Noble, you go to Amazon, you go to Century, and you can read about the book and actually order it from them. Or you go directly to www.whoswhointhemartialarts.com and get the book directly from them. If you want to order it directly from Master Bowen, you call him at 919-618-8075. And again, always to support the Sport Karate Museum Archives, you can go to www.sportkaratemuseum.org. Or you can call directly 713-483-0476. We're looking forward to a great year. Thank you again for supporting the last part of 2016 with what we're doing. We're looking forward to 2017. Bigger and better things is ahead. And thank you for your time tonight. We wish you all the best. Happy New Year, and we'll see you next year. Aloha, everybody.